Good morning. My name is Yeni and I'm going to read the Bible for us. Today's reading is taken from Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. To God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Thanks, Yeni. And you know what a day we've got, friends. It's been great to see Xavier get baptized, and I just saw him wander out. He's warm again. That's good to hear, mate. Been great to see Xavier get baptized, to hear him speak about the work of God in his life, and for us to be encouraged by him. As Mark said before, it's also our church's fifth birthday. We're 5 years old now. Actually, we're a little bit over 5 years ago. I got a picture. I think this is our first Sunday we ever had. This is back at the primary school in Paraka. We're celebrating that 5 years ago we did this. It's been fantastic to gather together, and there's going to be some more stuff. There's going to be cake at morning tea as well. If you came early, you might have seen a bit of a slideshow that was going on the screens of some photos over the years we've been at church. That'll be on afterwards as well. But if I can play devil's advocate for just a couple of moments here, I might ask, why bother with any of this? I mean, it's nice to see Xavier get baptized. It's nice to hear his story, yeah. But why does he bother with it? I mean, it's nice that we're here together this morning, but why bother with that? And there's other things would be nice as well. It might be nice to, have a sleep in this morning instead of getting up for church. Or maybe it'd be nice to be kicking back right now in your pajamas watching a movie on telly rather than being here. Like, there's lots of nice things could happen. Why do we bother with doing this? Why do we bother with being baptized? Why do we bother with being as part of a church or starting a new church? Yeni has just read to us from Colossians chapter 1. I don't know if anyone remembers this, but actually on our first Sunday as a new church, when we were back at Paraka, that was the passage we read as well. And it's the passage I spoke on 5 years ago too. And this day, on our fifth birthday, I wanted to go back there again today, because this passage shows us why someone like Xavier would want to get baptized. It shows us why we wanted to start a new church 5 years ago. And in fact, I think it shows us why we keep on wanting to be a church together today. So to get us into this, let me ask you a question. And the question is this: what is God doing in the world today? Let's have a think about that. You don't need to say anything out loud, but what do you think? What is God doing these days? What's He up to? You hear people talk about this kind of thing a little bit. Some people are very despairing when they think, what could God possibly be doing right now? Haven't you seen all the things that are going wrong with the world? Some people are quite hopeful. They see good things happening and they put it down. Well, that's God at work here. Some people look to unexplainable things and they'll say, that's God right there. Some people look to politics and say, oh, God is moving in that world. Some people look to Christian organizations or Christian movements or Christian churches, and especially the ones that seem to be succeeding, and they'll say, oh, God is at work through them. There's lots of different ideas, but what does God say? What does God tell us in the Bible that he is doing? Well, did you notice what our passage from Colossians said? It was there in verse, you've got the Bible there, keep it open in verse 6. Let me read it again. What is Colossians 1 verse 6, what does it say? In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. There are two things there. It says that God is doing two things. As the gospel goes out and as people hear the gospel, well, the first thing is that the gospel bears fruit. And the second thing is that the gospel grows. Two things. Now, this is an illustration. It's not saying that God is like an actual farmer who's trying to grow a tree that has got fruit on it. But that picture of a fruitful tree helps us understand what God is doing. So the first thing is that the gospel is bearing fruit. These new pieces of fruit are coming onto the tree. It's a way of talking about people becoming believers. New people start trusting and following Jesus. It's described a little bit further on in our passage in verse 13 and 14, where it says, that's talking about God, for God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. See, every time that happens, every time people hear the gospel and put their trust in Jesus, become followers of Jesus, there's a massive change that goes on. You know, I'm rescued from this awful fate called the dominion of darkness. And I'm rescued to brought into something that's really wonderful, the kingdom of the Son God loves, Jesus' kingdom, where I'm redeemed and I'm forgiven. That is, this is the gospel bearing fruit. God is at work in the world so that there are new disciples, more disciples across the world. And the gospel is also growing. It's not that there's just new fruit on the tree, but this fruit is getting bigger, juicier, tastier. It's a way of talking about believers becoming more mature. We don't just stay baby Christians, but we grow up. Or to use a different picture, we don't just stay as shallow Christians, but we go deeper and deeper into our faith. And we see that's what's true of the Colossian Christians. So look what we were just read for. Colossians is a letter written by a guy called Paul to a church in an ancient city of Colossae. And in verses 4 and 5, we hear what the Colossian church is like. They're growing deeper. It says that they're known for their faith in Jesus. They're known for the love that they have for one another. And they're like this. They have this faith and love because they have a sure and certain hope, because they know what they're looking forward to. They know they're waiting for something that is guaranteed, something that is in heaven for them. And so they're serious about their faith. They're growing in their faith. And that's what Paul, the writer of the letter, that's what he says he's praying for these Christians, that they would keep growing deeper and deeper as well. And so you see this in verses 9 to 12. Paul prays that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. So they'll live lives that please God, which means they'll do good and know God more and be patient and endure, and they'll give thanks to God. And that's the gospel at work in their lives, growing them. That's the life of a deep disciple. So see, God is at work in the world. And he tells us he's doing these two things. More disciples, people becoming believers, and deep disciples, people becoming mature believers. More disciples, deep disciples. This is God's work, and it is God's work in the world too. This is what he's doing, which you see in verse 3, because in verse 3, as Paul starts to talk about this, what does he say? Well, he thanks God that he's doing this work amongst the Colossians, because it's God who does this work. Or again in verses 9 to 12, Paul prays that God would keep doing this work because, again, it is God's work. He's the one who does it. Now, to be sure, people are involved in this. the Colossian Christians, they heard the gospel. In verse 7, it says they learned it from Epaphras. Epaphras is just a guy who lived 2,000 years ago, and he's the one who first told people in this ancient city about Jesus. Or think about Xavier's story as well. How did Xavier first hear the gospel? Well, it's because he grew up with parents who were believers, and they told him. And then there are people in the churches that he was part of, and they told him. And if you're a believer here today, or actually, even if you're not a believer and you're here today, I'm sure you can think of too, right? People who are part of your life, people who have told you about Jesus. You see, God uses people, ordinary people. But ultimately, it's his work. He uses people just like you and me, but he's the one who stands behind it all. He's the one who's making more disciples and making deep disciples. And I think deep down, we already know this. It's why we pray for God to be at work in the lives of our friends who don't know Jesus. We ask God to be at work so they would know Jesus too. And that's why we thank God when we see these kind of things happen. Our friends become believers, or our Christian friends grow deeper. It's why we pray for each other, that because we know that God is the one who's doing this. He makes more disciples. He makes deep disciples. This is what God is doing. And he's doing it all across the world. Again, isn't that what it said in verse 6? So the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. See, God was doing this in the ancient city of Colossae 2,000 years ago. In fact, all across the Roman world 2,000 years ago. And he's been doing it all through history for the last 2,000 years in all sorts of parts of the world. And he's still doing that today, right? Throughout the whole world, in places like India or China or France. In places like Chile, where our mission partners, the Purdies, serve and live. Or in Indonesia, where we partner with Compassion and the work they do there. God is at work in Cooper Pedy, a remote part of South Australia, where our mission partners, Dave and Margie, live. God's at work just down the road here at Mawson Lakes Uni, where Enya, who we partner with, where she does her work as well. Get this right. Xavier, he grew up in Tasmania, and Broome. Even in those places, God is at work. Right? Like, God is at work all through the world, and he's at work here in Para Hills, right? In the northern suburbs of Adelaide. He's at work doing those two things, making more disciples and bringing people to become deep disciples. That's why we started a new church 5 years ago. Some of you were here with us when we did that. It was the middle of a global pandemic. And we didn't have like a whole lot of preparation time to lead in and get ready for it. And you know, we're part of a country where we keep hearing that Christianity is on the decline, and you know, most of us already had busy lives. But we were convinced, weren't we, that this was the right thing to do, to start a new church. Because we're convinced that God was at work. God was working so that there'd be more disciples who were deep disciples. And so, of course, we'd throw ourselves at this. Why wouldn't we throw ourselves at this? Why wouldn't we want to be part of what God is doing? And in fact, this is what we've seen over the past 5 years. It hasn't always been easy. There's been difficulties along the way. But this has been happening. Maybe not in like spectacular numbers where people are going to write stories about us, but slowly and steadily and surely, God has been at work. So that now, there are more disciples. In our church, we've seen a couple of completely new disciples. And we've actually seen a lot of people kind of reconnecting back with Jesus. People who spend a little bit of time away, but have come back to following Jesus through our church. And we've seen people become deeper disciples too. I know this because you've told me that this has happened for you. That as part of our church, you've grown deeply. Others, I've seen you mature in your faith. Some of us here at our church, right, have had to endure some difficult and hard times. And it hasn't been easy. And yet through that, you can see that God has grown you to be deeper as disciples. God has been at work amongst us over the past 5 years. I want us to think about the next 5 years, the next 10 years, if God grants it to us, the next 100 years, what are we going to be like? What are we going to be doing? Well, again, friends, let me take us back. God has been at work, and he is at work, so that there are more disciples who are deep disciples. What do we do then? We need to keep being committed to being on this mission with God. That's why we started out 5 years ago. Many of you have joined us since. I want to say, will you be with us? Will you be committed with us so that we'll keep being on about those things? More disciples, deep disciples. What will that look like, though? I mean, there are a couple of great big principles, great big ideas. What does that actually look like for our church? What will it look like? Well, there's so much we could say here, right? But I wanted to just focus on a couple of things. One clear thing is that this is going to mean starting new churches. We've spoken about this a little bit in 2025, but our plan, our hope, is to work with the three other Trinity churches in the northern part of Adelaide here, so that together we'd love to start a new night church next year. And then in maybe about 2028 or thereabouts, start a church that's a bit further north, up towards Elizabeth. And then, if God sees us that far through, in 2030, maybe there'd be another church we could start somewhere else as well. We'd love to start more churches so that more of this work can be done, the work that God is actually doing, where there's more disciples who become deep disciples. If we're going to do that, friends, it's going to be challenging, right? It's going to be stretching. There will be costs that we have to bear if we're going to do this. But it's the kind of work that God is doing. So doesn't that kind of just give that extra bit of a push to get over the line and say, yeah, actually, if God's doing this, well, we can give it a crack then, can't we? In fact, I've got some kind of exciting news I want to share with you now. I mentioned one of the first things we hope to do working amongst the four Northern Trinity churches is to next year start a night church that meets in the area. We're praying that God would use this to make more disciples and deep disciples, especially, not only, but especially amongst the teenagers and young adults. Today, I get to tell you who's leading that night church out. And it is Dave Harrington. If you were with us last week, Dave was here. He was speaking up the front. I've known Dave for 7 or 8 years now. Dave is a godly, humble man. He loves Jesus. I'm really excited, actually, that he's the guy taking this on. I've been saying thanks to God a lot for Dave over the past couple of weeks. And I did want to let you know about an info night. Dave's running an info night really soon. It'll be happening on the Sunday, the 30th of November, between 6 and 8 p.m. at The Hill. This is for any and all of us. It's not just for young adults and teenagers who are going, I'm going to be part of that. Yes, absolutely. This is going to be about how we can all together partner to see this happen. I'm convinced this is something that's really exciting. Because this is us doing what God is doing. Us working with God, starting a new church, so that might be more disciples and deep disciples. And that's why we want to start new churches. But actually, that's the kind of thing we just want to keep seeing happen here in our church too, right? At Para Hills. We'd love to see more disciples and deep disciples here at Para Hills in the next 5, 10, 100 years. I'd love to have stacks more days like we just had today with Xavier being baptized, because more people are becoming believers, because people who are believers want to commit, no, I am going to follow Jesus for my life. And I'd love for us all to keep growing in maturity, where each of us is hungry for ourselves to be growing deeper as a believer. But more than that too, we're actually hungry for one another to be growing as believers. Wouldn't you love to see that in our church in the next 5, 10, 100 years? Can I give you a little bit of a spoiler for next year then? I've been sitting down with Dave and Jake and the leadership team as well a little bit on this. And we're doing a bit of planning for 2026. And we reckon there are two big areas that we want to focus on over the next couple of years. One is mission, seeing more people become disciples. And the other one is ministry. This is the idea of where we serve each other. Because that's actually how we grow to become deep disciples. We don't do it when we're on our own, in our own rooms, doing our own thing. What we need to grow as deep disciples is each other. When we seek to build each other up, that's how we become deep, deep disciples. But more on that next year. Today I reckon there's two big things I want us to take away. The first is to be thankful. Let's be thankful to God for the past 5 years he's given us. Thankful for all that he's done. And you might have been part of church with us for a couple of years. Be thankful for those couple of years. Maybe it's worth us spending time reflecting on this. Perhaps on your own, you might like to do this. But also with each other over morning tea. Why not ask one another, you know, how have you seen God at work in our church? So that there are more disciples and deep disciples. And then don't just talk about it, but maybe take a couple of moments to pray with one another, thanking God for the work he's done. Let's be thankful for the past 5 years. And then, as I said before, let's commit to keep on doing this together. You know, we're 5 years in as a church now, and so in some ways church is not the shiny, bright, pretty new thing anymore. But God is still at work. God hasn't changed. He's still doing what he was doing 5 years ago. So let's keep being committed to this with one another. Committed to joining God in his work to see more disciples, to see deep disciples. Perhaps again, it's worth taking some time to consider this too. What could that look like for you for the rest of this year? What could it look like for you next year to be someone who's committed to seeing more disciples and deep disciples? Maybe even you could be part of the group that starts a night church that helps see more disciples and deep disciples. Let's be thankful. Let's commit to keep doing this work together. We're going to pray, then we're going to sing, and then we're going to have some open mic time. Why don't I pray for us? God, we praise you because you have been at work. You always were at work, and you still are at work in the world, so that the gospel is bearing fruit, so that you're making more disciples, so the gospel is growing, so that you're making deep disciples. Thank you, God, for doing this work amongst us. When we look back, we can see you done this. Thank you. We pray you'd keep doing this amongst us and amongst Parry Hills here. We pray, Lord, that you would make us those who are thankful when we see your work and those who are deeply committed to being on this work with you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.